Okay, so the bottom of Kufi Dalar and Be'ez says the Gemara, six lines from the bottom. Pshita heicha de'ika shar yirakos mivarach asher yirakos bori pri adama. This is talking about Leil Seder and the need to say bracha for maror. So everybody agrees, if you have other vegetables, you should say an adama, bori pri adama, on other vegetables first, which is what we call karpas, and then an edit v'achal. And v'hadar later in during the course of the meal, mivarech al achilas marah. Then later during the course of the meal, you should say marah when getting to that point. V'achad, then eat it then. So again, that's the ideal thing. What we do, what our custom is, al seder, is to have karpas and some vegetable, celery or potatoes, and then have the marah, say achilas marah, when you get to the marah in that stage. That's the ideal. That's pasha that works. But then, let's say a person doesn't have... So let's say a person only has chasa. Chasa means lettuce, romaine lettuce. That's the ideal, that's the number one choice, preferred choice for marah. So you have chasa, romaine lettuce. Let's say that's the only vegetable you have. So what are you supposed to do, Mai? What's the din? Do you say adama and achilas marah in the beginning when you get the karpas? Or maybe wait until later on and say them both later? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna mivarech meikara amar, borei pri adama v'achil. In the beginning, when you get the karpas, even though you only have romaine lettuce, and romaine lettuce works as marah, so at first you just say adama for that romaine lettuce.
It's only because he has one.
Exactly.
One vegetable.
Exactly. One, and the vegetable is a marah vegetable. It's a romaine lettuce.
He has romaine lettuce.
Okay. So he has one. So when he first, when it comes to karpas, he takes the romaine lettuce and says adama. He doesn't have in mind for what, I shouldn't say I have in mind, but he just has, he just says adama and does not say alach, he has marah. Ulvasov, later on, when he gets to that part of the Seder, when he has matzah, and then it's time for marah, he eats the romaine lettuce yet a second time, and is mevarach al achilas marah v'achil. Then he says achilas marah, and that's the way to approach it with when having just romaine lettuce. So the Gemara asks the following question, the very top of Kuf Tes Vav Amin Aleph.
So he says the bracha on, when he says, when he does carpet, is the bracha, and he has the kavana to be yotze for the second time.
Right,
or he doesn't need kavana at all. We
say that. Well, we're about to do kavana right now. You'll see that point. But again, the way it is, you have romaine lettuce. You say borei pri adama et karpas on the romaine lettuce, and then you eat romaine lettuce the second time when you get to the stage of marah and say achilas marah.
Right.
Okay. So the Gemara asks now the very top line of kuf tes vav amin aleph. Meikara, oh sorry, maskiv la Rav Chista. Rav Chista asks the following question: La'acha shim milei kriso heimanu chozim mevarech aleh. I don't understand. You already filled up. You already said a bracha. How could you say achilas marah after being full, and or really after being yotze your mitzvah of matzah, a mitzvah of marah? You already had marah in the beginning during karpas. How could you now say al achilas marah later on? You've already been yotze marah. You can only say al achilas marah if you haven't yet been yotze the mitzvah. So, in case the way we do it is we have a piece of celery or a piece of potato for karpas. You haven't been yotze marah. When it gets to the stage of marah, then you're eating marah. You could say al achilas marah. But to say al-achilas marah when already having eaten romaine lettuce, that doesn't make any sense. So therefore, Rav Chista changes things around. Ela amar Rav Chista, meikara mivarech ale borei pri ha'adama ve'al-achilas marah. In the beginning, you say both a bracha of adama and you also say al-achilas marah. Again, not what we do. There's only in a case where you only have romaine lettuce. And then va'achal, then you eat it. Ulevasof, when you get to the stage where you're really ideally supposed to have marah, which means after you've eaten matzah, then you say, vasof, achil achilas chasa, below bracha. You would eat romaine lettuce yet a second time, but without a bracha.
Why can't you make it not to be yote?
So the Gemara is going to get into issues of kavana in a moment. I believe the Gemara gets into issues. I think, is it the next page? After the next page of the Gemara here. The Gemara, I believe, discusses Kavana coming up. It will discuss Kavana, I think. Or no, maybe that's Tosos' point. You see the top Tosos' long maskifla? Here's a whole thing I think you learn from here about the whole discussion whether mitzvah tzichus Kavana or not. He gets involved in that discussion. Whether he can have lack of non-Kavana or not, he does discuss this. So it says... So what's the reason why you have to eat it a second time, though? You've already been yotzei marah in the beginning when you had romaine lettuce. You said adama. You said achilas marah. So Rashbam writes the top line, ulvasof achil. Why do you eat it a second time? Below bracha, without a bracha, because you've already been yotzei. Mishum debain and trei tibula. You need two dippings. That's the halacha. We have seder night. You have to dip the two different times. So says the Gemara.
So he's explaining not why he doesn't say bracha, he's explaining why he's having it a second time.
Exactly.
It's supposed to be yotze both in the same.
Exactly. It sounds like you're yotze right in the beginning.
Right.
You should have to just do it a second time because you need two dippings. Mm-hmm. The karpas is dipped in the salt water, and the maror, actually, the maror in the charosis, exactly. So says the Gemara, Bisuria, in the place called Surya, of the Kiravuna, they practiced like Ravuna. So what was Ravuna's halacha? He was to say the bracha of Bari Paradama in the beginning only, and then say Al-Chias Mara later on. And then, however, in Rav Sheshes, Breit of Yeshua, Avid Kirav Chista, Rav Sheshes' town, they would hold like Rav Chista, which was to say both brachas at the very first time they ate romaine lettuce. And the Hilchas, or the halacha is, Kivasei de Rav Chista, we pass on like Rav Chista, that again, you should say both brachas in the beginning and none at the end. So what's the best thing to do? So Rav Acha braid Rava Mahader Ashar Yirakos LaFuki Nafshim LePluk. So the best thing to do, as Rav Acha did, he searched really, really hard to find other vegetables to make sure to remove himself from any debate. If he was able to find a carrot, a celery, any other vegetable, you could say Adama, that will solve all problems. Because for Karpas, you just have any vegetable, say Adama, and then later on, you have romaine lettuce for the Mara, I say Achias Mara. So I guess in those times it was very uncommon to find vegetables. You could only find romaine lettuce. So he had to search really hard to find another vegetable to remove himself from any machlokas. So Amar Le Ravina Amar Li Rav Misharsha Brei the Rav Nosson said the following: Hachi Amar Hillel. Hillel says as follows: Mishmei the Gemara, from the name of the Gemara, from the certain Masorah Hillel had. Lo Nichroch Inish Matza Umara. Nichroch means to wrap. Don't wrap, a person should not wrap matzah and maror behada hadade together. V'nechan, he shouldn't eat it together. Why? Mishum desfir lan matzah bizman hazed deraisa, u'mara b'dirabanan. Nowadays, matzah is a mitzvah deraisa still. Maror is only a mitzvah dirabanan bizman hazed, because maror is more attached to the Karban Pesach. And what's going to happen? So who cares that one's deraisa, one's dirabanan? So if you eat them together, the Gemara explains, v'asi maror dirabanan, u'mavatla lamata deraisa, that the maror is going to be ruining, it's going to weaken the matzah.
The taste.
So yeah, let's say the taste. The maror is so strong, it's going to ruin the taste. Va'afilu l'man damar mitzos ein mevatla zuzu. If even according to the pin that says, no, mitzvahs can't be mevatla one mitzvah. I don't care about the flavor, the strong taste of the maror. One mitzvah cannot be mevatla another mitzvah. That is only honey mili deraisa b'deraisa, when it's one deraisa versus another deraisa. Old derabanan b'derabanan, when they're both on the same level, they can't ruin each other. Aval b'deraisa b'derabanan, when it's one deraisa and one derabanan, osi derabanan vatlalei deraisa. The derabanan mitzvah, in this case, the maror, is going to dilute and weaken the mitzvah deraisa. Because the idea being is that, again, Val, the Rishonim talk about whether it's about the taste, whether it's about the keem. So we're trying to be kind of deraisa by sticking in the mitzvah derabanan there, it really dilutes the ma'isa mitzvah. If, however, both mitzvahs are of the same level, there's no dilution going on there. That's how they seem to explain it. So based on this idea, let's say we take the approach, it's all about tam. It's that the mara is so strong, and the mara is going to override the taste of the matzah. So they raise the following question. So when it comes to the concept of bittel, in Hilchos Yerideya, it's where we talk about Dvar Isurim, or Michael Asurus. When something's Asur, say I have a big piece of meat, and milk falls in, so then if there's 60 times the meat to the milk, it's okay. Exactly. Batal B'Shishim, exactly. So they want to know, how is it possible here? How is a maror mivatal the matzah? The maror is not going to be 60 times the matzah. It's 50-50, there's no bittel. I have 50 matzah and 50 maror. There's no bittel there. So why is it? Why are we saying bittel here? So they explain, so some Rishonim say, because as we said, the maror is so strong, it's so strong, even though it's less than 60 times the matzah, it's able to override the matzah. Others say there's just a chashash ba'alma. If you eat the matzah and maror together, there's a concern that you might take a bite, and that bite is not going to completely mix together. It's not going to be a uniform mixture. So it's possible you might have a little bit, when you bite, a little bit of matzah and a lot of maror in the one bite. In that case, the maror might be 60 times the matzah.
But I think it's more, you know, you're eating matzah because you eat Yasmin Sarah's Menechoyer. And maror is exactly the opposite. To be remembered that you were, you know, that. Mitzrim, where, you know, they pressured us. So basically, the whole time of each mitzvah is mevat to the other one, because you're basically doing two things that are opposite to each other.
So that is an interesting point. But the deraisa, you're supposed to actually eat the matzah with the maror.
That's korach.
Right. Yes. So what's the idea? So your question is, so let's say deraisa, you're supposed to eat.
Right.
So what's the idea? Well, the Gemara is going to quote the pasuk in a second. So tzlach, the Nodeb Yehuda writes, I think it's in brachos, it might even be in psachim. He says, and also Or HaChaim HaKadosh says an idea like this also, if I remember correctly, that even maror is an inyan of cheres. How can maror be cheres? It's by maror's chayim, it's bitter. So they say, to show you how bad the avdus is, that highlights how great the geula was. So it's really helping, they're really assisting each other in understanding how great the geula is. So it's not a steer in terms of the fundamental ideas, what they represent, they actually work with each other. Now the Minchas Chinuch has a very interesting question based on maror. We're saying maror is so strong that it's going to override the matzah. So let's say I have a nisser. I have nevela. And I put the nevela in maror. Maror is so strong. So maybe you should say, just like maror is mevatel matzah and you're not yotzei matzah, maybe maror should be strong enough, even though there's not 60 times maror, but maybe it should be mevatel the davar isser, because maror is so strong. That's what the Minchas Chinuch asks. So he says, no, maror is only able to be mevatel in mitzvah asei, like matzah, but it cannot be mevatel in iser. So what's the svar for that? So the Minchas Yitzchak explains as follows. He says, the reason why maror is mevatel matzah is because you need to be margish, you have to feel and taste the matzah and its shlemus. So yes, when maror is there, you can still taste the matzah, you can still in existence, you can taste the matzah, but you can't taste it in its shlemus. So it's still not there fully. So in terms of mitzvah asei, we need the full effect of the matzah. But it's there, the taste, but not, it's diluted. So when it comes to iser, as long as you can taste the iser, as long as there's some nesinas tam, I don't care if the nevela is not fully there, but at least if a little bit of the nevela is there, it's going to be usher. That's why the Minchas Chinuch says, mara cannot be mevatel ledavar iser.
You learned in Plimio too, from the Tanya. It's, that is, so it's from Tuma. And Tuma can never go up to Gdusha. So. Doesn't matter how you mevatel it.
Doesn't work.
Ever.
It says the Gemara now, halfway down. Man tana d'shmais le mitzvahs ein mevatel zu adzu. Who is the opinion that says one mitzvah cannot be mevatel another mitzvah? This goes well with what you're saying. The opposite is true. And a mitzvah kedusha can never be batel either.
Yes.
Isser, in either way, because it's so much Kedusha, you can never get rid of Kedusha. So who is the opinion that says one mitzvah cannot cancel out another mitzvah? That's Hillel, as we know. The Tanya, the Brisa says, Amru alav al Hillel, it was said about Hillel, Shehaya korichan bebas achas, they would wrap together v'ochan and eat them all together. The matzah, the maror, shenemar, al matos umrom yochlu, right, that's what you said, Ricky, you quoted that pasuk, you should eat the matzah and the maror together. So Amru Rabbi Yochan said, Chokin alav chaverav al hilal, and his friends, his chavrusas, his colleagues would argue in hilal. The Tanya, yachol yehi korcha mebas achas veochlan kederach shehilal ochlan. You might think to wrap everything together, the matzah and the maror and even the carbon pesach in that time. Maybe you should eat them together like hilal. Tamalomar amatos murom yochlu. You should eat them together. What does mean yochlu? Afilu ze b'fnei atzma v'ze b'fnei atzma. Even one after the next. So Rashbam explains, what does yochol luhu mean? Kol echad b'fnei atzma. Eat it. Eat it alone. Eat this one alone. Eat this one alone. That even individually. So while Hillel says you have to eat them all in one unit, this the chaver of Hillel said, no, you eat them all independently.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
It's interesting. You know, these guys are geonim. They're amoraim and tanaim. Even more than tanaim. It's interesting that he doesn't say, like I didn't admit, that they speak in Plymouth about Varim, and probably they were actually in Kabbalah as well. And it doesn't seem that they speak in this aspect on things. So can it be that whoever was Orech the Gemara picked specific things in order to have one flow?
I mean, you're saying there's no Pnimis in the Gemara?
Yeah.
Well, so that's what last week we mentioned a lot of the Agata. Is
even it's in, without any explanation that makes sense. You just say this shadim. Okay, what that mean? You know.
Yeah,
it's strange. You know, they are.
But all the Kabbalah, it's only towards the recent time that Kabbalah became a little bit more available for other people. In those times, it was
that's
so.
That's a good answer.
I think that they were almost like under a shvua, not to be mefar. You know, It's only since the Baal Shem Tov came that it became public. I mean,
right.
Arizal.
Right. That's the idea that they knew it. They just couldn't speak about it.
It was after that.
Way after that. Yeah, way after that.
It was almost like accepted that they would never speak about it. It wasn't for the public. It was only for very few people that they. So they wouldn't even.
Okay.
Even now, the Mekubalim have their own set of whatever Masorah they have, which is not public, whatever things they know and do, and you know.
So I'm sorry. So again, so what's the pshat? How could you learn it that it's separately when it says Amatam Lachem Lelul? Lashon ze mashmao shishoshat machalim elu mitzvatam leachil afilu ze bifnei atzmo ve ze bifnei atzmo.
Right, so
how do you learn that?
So yochlu is a word that's broken in Hebrew. You break it, yochel oto. That's how you read it. So is the word oto, is that going on the unit or on each individual
singular.
One?
It's a singular.
That seems to be what the debate's about.
Uh-huh.
So that's how we have mechokas. Yochlu doesn't mean all together, like hil, korich, and one in korich. Or no, it means each one bifnei atzma. So before you go by to the Gemara, this is what I think Rav Shechter says, that the... In the stomach, they had a shawarma. That's what they were eating. Korich doesn't mean... When the Rise of Shechta says how our matzahs that the Ashkenazim use are not the right ones, we have to use them because that's our Masorah, most probably not what they had in those times, because you can't do... Kricha means wrap. Doesn't mean sandwich. It could also be, but... to be korich means to wrap something.
More like a pita.
More like a lafa. Like a lafa. That's what the Sephardim have. Like the Sephardim have like a little thin, and you could wrap and make a lafa. And you have the lamb, which is shawarma. You have a little harif, the mar on it. That's what they had, some lettuce or something.
Can you do that without having chash of chimutz?
You can. There's no there. Even the Ashkenazim will agree, the Sephardi matzahs, that are lafas, are not chametz. If it's cooked in less amount of time, and it's watched, and it's not thicker than a tefach, you can't have a matzah thicker than a tefach. That's what the halacha is.
Okay.
There's not even near a tefach.
And the Sephardim eat a soft matzah?
Some Sephardim. So depending on what your Masorah is. I would guess Erez probably does. The more traditional you are, the more you have that. So Kricha is with a lafa. They had a shawarma. But this was our Masorah. The thinner, the better. So we have these hard, now cardboard-type matzahs. But everyone would agree it's not the real chametz. So Maskevla, and Gemara asks the following question. Maskevla Rav Ashi, Yihachi Mai Afilu. So... the statement that the Chaverov of Hillel were arguing, when they said, even Bifnei Atzmo, sounds like, I agree to Hillel that Korech works also, and they add, Vafil is always adding on to something, and even eating them, Bifnei Atzmo, even eating Mara on its own, and Matzah on its own, will also be owed to the Matzah. So it doesn't seem like there's a debate, actually. They're both in agreement, you can't eat them together. The only question is whether you can eat them separately. So, again, the Gemara is trying to figure out, who is the opinion that says, Ein Mivatlan Zedzeh? That the mitzvahs do not mvatel each other. We said it was Hillel who allows you to eat them as one unit. Now, we just brought this brisa that says you also allow them to eat it as a unit. They're just adding on. You could also eat them separately. So it sounds like everybody agrees you could eat them together. That everybody agrees that ein mvatel zuetzu. So therefore, Ravashi comes along and changes the brisa around a little bit. Ela Amar Ravashi says, Hai Tana, it's the following Tana. Hachi Katana, this is what the brisa meant to say. Maybe you wouldn't be yotzei the mitzvah of mara matzah unless you ate them in one unit bevasachas. And you ate them like Hillel did. Maybe that's the only way you yotzei the mitzvah. That you eat them, so you eat them even each one independently. So yes, you're right that everybody agrees you can eat them together as one unit. But the people who argue in Hillel allow you to also eat it bifnei atmo. So now the Gemara says, "What's the halacha?" Hash the lo itmar hilchas alo kehilav lo karabanan. The Gemara doesn't tell us who the halacha is like. Do you have to eat it like Hillel? Do you have to eat it as one unit, as one sandwich, one wrap, or can you eat it separately like the rabbanan? So since we don't know, what's the halacha as we do? First, mivarech al achilas matzah ve'achil. First, you say a bracha on the matzah and you eat it, and then v'hadam mivarech al achilas marar. Then you say bracha and mara like we do, and you eat it. And then finally, you eat them together in the sandwich, below bracha, without a bracha, to remember what Hillel did.
This is Hillel the Amora, right? Not the Hillel the Tana.
I think it's Hillel the Tana, yeah. Because we're quoting a brisa here. Hillel he the Tanya. So it's Hillel the Tana. So this is the halacha. This is how we do. So there's a big machlokas in terms of that one of the halachas of Hillel Seder is that you're not supposed to speak once starting the matzah until you finish all the mitzvahs, matzah, maror, and korech. Don't speak until you finish everything, unless there's a real need for it. Best thing to do is not to speak at all. So big machlokas, do you have to, are you allowed to speak or make an interruption once you've done matzah and maror? Maybe you could speak after korech, because the Gemara seems to say it's simply a zecher ba'alma. It's not really fundamentally right. Part of the halachas, all the mitzvahs. So that's the opinion of some poskim that say, no, you can eat matzah, eat maror, and that's it. Others say, no, you have to have the continuation because you should still be choshesh. Hillel himself thought the only way, even though it says zecher ba'alma here, Hillel himself thought the mitzvah has to be done through korech. So to be yota, even the shita of Hillel, you should have no hesach hadas throughout the whole time, from beginning till end, until you've eaten korech, you shouldn't speak at all.
But from the fact that we say zecher lemigdash kehillel, so it seems that we're not doing it because of a suffix, we're just doing the zecher.
Exactly, that's what the Maharal says. There's no need. Right. You can.
But it does. So we don't follow the Gemara.
Well, it depends. I guess how you paskin. I mean, the Torah Shulchan Aruch bring down that you should not interrupt until the end. Uh-huh. So it sounds like they are choshesh, yeah. Even though the Gemara says that it's still a chashash. And that gets back to a larger question, you know, when performing mitzvahs and halacha in general, how machmir do we have to be and how machmir should we be? So like the briskers in general, they're always machmir. For any possible shita out there, they're going to try to be machmir. Someone was telling me this last week, I think Daniel Fink was telling me this last Shabbos, he said that on the first day of Pesach, a lot of the gedolim were machmir to go to the kosel. To do lulav and esrog because midiraisa there's a mitzvah deraisa of dal minim by the kosel. So he told this to his son who's learning his brisk. He says, son, well, you know, some gedolim dafka don't go, because why? They're concerned if they go there, then there is a real chiv deraisa, and the lulav and esrog might be puzzle, according to some shita, and they will be mivatel mitzvah asay deraisa. If I'm not near the wall, so I have no mitzvah deraisa anymore, so it's okay. I only have a mitzvah derabanan. But if I admit to the Raisa, I got to make sure what I have is right. So since Daniel Fink told me there's another story that apparently after the Leil Seder of Merom Yisada, of the Netziv, he'd say, oh, Baruch Hashem, we were kaim so many mitzvahs, all kilchasa, beautiful, we were mekayim the mitzvah. Apparently, a little bit over, the Beis HaLevi said, I guess we could hope the best, maybe we were mekayim the mitzvah, I'm not really sure, we did the best we can. That's two different approaches. Because right. The briskers are so makwit to get every single possible chumrah to make sure they cover all their bases. So here at the Rosa, I guess the Torah Shulchan Aruch is like, although the Gemara sounds like it's simply a Zeichel Mikdash, we should still try our best to be Yotze, this opinion of Hillel. He was Hillel. As opposed to the Maharal thought, no, it's Hillel is clearly a Zeichel Mikdash and no need for anything.
Is there any that if you go with your Lulav and Esrog on the first day, you're not allowed to go back with it, something like that, because you're leaving somebody.
So there are discussions like that, but there are two reasons why you can return.
Once you take it into the area, you cannot take it out because you're something.
Oh, because you're losing the mitzvah deraisa?
I don't know. I remember hearing something like that, but I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Not a question of hachana, you're saying?
No.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. So then the Gemara says, before the Gemara, there's one other opinion. The Pre-Chadash has a middle opinion. He says as follows, that you shouldn't interrupt between maror and korech. Once you've eaten matzah, you can make an interruption because matzah is a mitzvah b'fnei asma b'deraisa b'zmanazeh. As the Gemara said itself, mitzvah b'zmanazeh is deraisa. Maror today is only derabanan. So maybe between maror and korech there shouldn't be an interruption because we're not sure how to be mekayim the best way. So maybe to connect it to korech, you might need that to be mekayim it, kind of mitzvah maror b'deraisa. Because maror, again, b'deraisa has to be eaten with matzah. I forget exactly how to be chadash, but something along those lines. Pichadash has some middle view about making a hesachadas between the three different mitzvahs. Okay, so this says the Gemara. We are now two lines from the bottom of Kuftes Vav Amud Aleph. Amar Rebbe Elazar, Amar Rebbe Oshaya. Kol shetivulo b'mashke, tzarach netilas adayim. Anything that you dip, any food you dip into liquid, you have to do netilas adayim. So this is a very, very large discussion. So, a number of points on this. So, first of all, there's a three-way machlokas. What type of netilas yadayim do you need? Tosos here in the bottom, kol she tivulo, we won't read it inside. He says it's the netilas yadayim you need by same thing regarding pas. So when you wash your hands for bread, same halachas apply to washing your hands for taking a fruit that's dipped into the water or any other liquid. And therefore, you would need a bracha when washing your hands.
Because you're machshirin for tuma.
Well, so they explain here. Let's look at the Rashbam, right? What's the reason? What do you need in tilas adayim? Rashbam says in the bottom, kol shetivula b'mashkin, anything you dip into liquid, kigon gerek b'kutach or b'chomet. You take a vegetable and you dip it in kutach or some type of milk and chomet mixture, or b'chomet or vinegar. Tzarech netilas adayim mishum mashkin, because of the liquid. Shehayadayim shniyos. So the adayim are second level tuma. V'chol ha'posas ha'tshuma metame mashkin lios tekhila. So our hands are shnios, second level tuma, the sheni. The sheni can be metame tshuma. Now anything that can be metame posel tshuma can be metame mashkim. What's going to happen is, so your hands are going to go ahead and touch the water that I'm dipping the vegetables or the chomet, the vinegar I'm dipping into, and now my hands can make the liquid tame. So then the liquid that's tame can now make exactly. So now that's going to make it tame. So sheni can't make food tame, but it can make liquid tame. That's the halacha.
Right, because it goes back to the rishon.
Exactly.
But yeah, so this is not a matter of hechsher now, according to this.
Right,
it's a matter of hechshash that you're going to be touching the liquid.
Exactly.
But that's not how we hold. We hold that it's hechsher.
We'll see in a second in terms of which mashkim this is based on what you're saying. So let's make that. There's a machlokas ram and ravid. Which liquids, when I dip food into which liquids, is going to require an tilas adayim. So the Rambam says the shiva mashkim. What are the shiva mashkim? They're mayim, yayin, tal, dvash, dam.
And, right, but in that case, he's very specific that the shiva mashkim are the one who are machshir and imachal to be mekabel tuma.
Exactly.
Not because the liquid itself will become tame from the shein.
Exactly. But the Ravid argues, Ravid says, no, all liquids. Because as we're saying here, all liquids are metame, so therefore it applies to all the liquids. So that's a big machlokos. We paskin, the Shulchan Aruch paskin, like the Rambam, only things that are dipped into the Shiva Mashkim require Netilas Yadayim before him. Now, when doing this food, dipping the food into these seven liquids, does it require bracha? So that's the machlokos. The Tosus brings an opinion here of Rashi. Tosus quotes Rashi that says, just like pas, when you wash your hands before eating bread, you have to say Netilas Yadayim, so to the halacha applies by dipping the vegetables into liquids. However, the Tosus himself says that you do not require bracha. This is very different than that of bread. So no need for bracha there. And there's a third opinion there. Rabbeinu Yochum says, no, the whole idea is very different than anything here. It's just simply to clean your hands. Your hands are dirty, you have to clean the hands. Nothing to do with any tumah, any...
So he's saying that since the macha will be wet, it has more possibility to get dirty from your hands as opposed to something dry.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And then two other points quickly. Now, which foods? Is it any food that you dip into liquid? So the Radban has a diak from the Rashbam. Rashbam gives an example. What does it mean kol shetivula b'mashkin? Like a vegetable, you might dip into kutach, which was some type of milch chametz mixture, or you might dip it into vinegar. So he says the fact that he gives examples, Radbaz thinks that only things that are derech to be dipped, things that are normally dipped. If I take something that normally doesn't get dipped, he doesn't think that's subject to the lachas of dipping. Only something that's normally dipped. And finally, in terms of Zman Hazeh, there's a large discussion in the poskim whether we should be machbir with this Zman Hazeh. Mishra Brura quotes a number of opinions that says there's no need to be machmir, but then he says, you know what, many, many poskim say one should be machmir, and that's the ideal thing to do. If a person is having, let's say, apple and honey, so the honey is one of the things, one of the shivim mashkim, and dipping apple into honey, he should ideally wash his hands beforehand.
But even if, let's say, somebody has an apple and he washes it and he doesn't dry it, I think it also requires... even if it's not
correct, exactly.
Because it's wet. Because
exactly.
According, if we hold that it's machshir, then you should even, right? Then yep. Even if you're not dipping.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so says the Gemara now, last line of the Amud. Amar Rapapa Shema Mina, we learn from here, Hai Chasa, this Romei lettuce, Tzarech Lishgue Becharoses Mishim Kappa. You have to take the Mara and dip it into the Charoses, because of Kappa, according to the Rashbam, it means... like eris, it's like not venom, like that's
harifuto hamesukenet.
Right, something like venom. I think eris is the same word as venom, right? I say venom for eris, right? Yes. So it's not venom of a snake, but it's venom of the vegetables with very potent and dangerous flavor to it. You have to dip it into the charosis to dilute, to neutralize the kappa. Others say kappa is some type of worm or bugs in there. So diisak daitach lo tzarach lishkuye. So if you think that you do not require dipping into charoses, Netiyas Yadayim Lomali. Why do we have to do Netiyas Yadayim? Halonaga, you didn't touch any liquid. Only when you touch a liquid, if there's a chashash, you might touch a liquid. So it must be you have to take the entire lettuce and put it, soak it into the charosis, because you're going to be touching a liquid. So Gemara says, what do you mean? V'dilma li'olam eim l'cha lo tarach l'shkuye. And maybe you really don't have to dip in it at all. V'kafa me'recha mais. Maybe the, let's call it the venom of the vegetables, doesn't need to actually touch the charosis, but from coming close to it, the smell of the charosis, the sweet smell, the sweet flavor that comes out, maybe that's enough to kill the kappa, to kill the eris. So, if that's the case, it'll normally netiyas yadayim. So why need netiyas yadayim at all? If you're suggesting that you don't have to dip it in at all, the smell alone could remove any of the venom that's there. So normally, why do you need netiyas yadayim? Dilma mashkelu. Maybe you have to just dip it in. So the first opinion thought, you have to soak it in. You put the whole maror, the whole maror in the charosis, you take it out, it's dripping with charosis. So you're going to get wet, that's why you need tiyas yadayim. The maror says, no, maybe you have to just dip a tiny bit of it. Once a little bit of the maror goes into the charosis, that charosis, the sweet smell, will go around the entire maror and get rid of any of the dangerous things there. So that's all you need, and that's why you need tiyas yadayim. So again, the halacha is as follows. You need the tiyas yadayim, but you're not because you're dipping the whole mar inside the charosis, but you're dipping just a little bit in the charosis. And they're concerned, since you dip a little bit in it, you might end up touching the liquid. So it's not vada you're going to touch the liquid, because you're not soaking the whole thing, but there's a chashash, you might touch the liquid. Since there's a chashash, therefore we advise that you do, or we require, doing the tilas yadayim.
And the final reason why we are dipping it, it's not mishum kappa.
No, I think it is mishum kappa, yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I thought so. I think so, yeah. Yeah, because the kappa, apparently from the smell alone of the charosis, is enough to remove the kappa. So how do you get the smell there? Just by dipping a little bit of the mara, is that smell is going to emit throughout the whole piece of mara. Mm-hmm. Says the Gemara, "Vamara papa lo nishe inish." A person shouldn't delay, shouldn't keep mara b'charosis. He shouldn't keep the mara just soaked in the charosis. Because dilma agav chalya the tablin mevatle le mararora ubayin and tam mara v'lekam. Through soaking in agav chalya, through the tavlin, the spices, the scent, the sweetness of it, it might ruin the taste. And one of the lachas are, you need tam of mara, you have to taste the mara. If you don't taste the mara, it doesn't taste bitter at all, so it's not going to be yotzei. That's one of the difficulties using the lettuce that we have nowadays. There's no bitter flavor to it. And you have to have a bitter flavor, so it's very difficult to understand. At the same time, that's the most preferred form of mara, is to have romaine lettuce. So I remember a number of years ago in YU, one of the younger Rebbeim was going around, he said he found mara. He's walking around with like this stalk of lettuce of some sort. He said, telling everybody, taste it. And you taste it first, and it starts off tasting really bitter, and it ends up turning into something like a little sweeter. And he thought he found mara. Maybe it was, I don't know. Like our romaine lettuce has a very, very subtle bitter taste to it. But this one he found, it was like really at a stronger, not quite like the chrein, but it had a bitter taste, a very apparent bitter taste to it.
So he says that you shouldn't leave it too long in the charoset because it gets rid too much of the
flavor, right? The bitterness, right? Says the Gemara now, Adavra Rav Chista le Ravana Ukva. Rav Chista was talking to Ravana Ukva. The Darish, he said the following drasha: Notel Yada Betiva Rishon, the Notel Yada Betiva Sheni. So is he asking a question or just saying?
Even though
you wash your hands ready for the first time of dipping, you have to wash your hands yet a second time for the second round of dipping. So says the Gemara, again, the first round of dipping is referring to the karpas, and the second round of dipping is referring to the maror. So you have to wash both times. So Amru Rabbanan Kamei de Papa, who said, this must be talking about in general. In general, if a person is dipping his vegetables in something, and he dips his peppers into the dressing, let's say, and he decides not to eat anymore, and then later during the meal he wants to dip again, he has to wash a second time. He must be talking about in general. During a regular meal, nothing to do with Leil Pesach. Why? If he's talking about Pesach night, Itmar, he's talking about Pesach night, Lam li netilas yadayim trei zimne. Why do you need two different times? One for the karpas and one for the chazaras, for the mara. He already washed his hand one time already. So it must be a general reasoning, a general idea, that if you wash your hand one time, you have to wash it a second time if you've decided to eat more. So Gemara says, what do you mean? Amalura Papa Adra, but that's the opposite. Hochitmar, it's talking about Dafka and Leil Pesach. Disagadatach Valmitmar, Lomali Tre Tivulo. If you're talking about the rest of the year, why would a person have to dip two times? A person dips one time. He's dipping his vegetables and he's done with the vegetables. He's not going to have to dip a second time. Only in Pesach night do you dip two times. Once Karpas and once Femara. So Ela Maihacha Itmar, what do you mean? So what's Halacha? So it says here, so Nitiyas Adayim Tre Zimna Lomali. So if I already washed my hands one time for Karpas, so why do I have to wash my hands a second time for Mara? So he says, how much lazy other chadazim? I already washed my hands one time already. So says the Gemara, Amrei kaven de ba'i lememar agadasa, which means hagada, v'halila halel, dilma suchi asche ledaita v'naga. Because since there's so much in between, when I've done karpas, and we say, oh, not all, but most of the hagada, and then we say halel a little bit, and then we dip the Mara into the charoses, so much time has passed, so we're concerned maybe he wasn't paying attention properly, his hands got dirty, so therefore you have to wash yet a second time.
Right here it says that during the year, you basically are masach daita, that basically when you eat something, and then you ate it, the seder is all, there's a seder, so you know you're going to end up having the mar later. So he said, so what explains it is that, why should you need two netilas yadayim when you're washing for karpas? You know for a fact that you're going to be washing for mara because you already know this later during the year. When you wash for something, then you're masich daita. Then something else comes to your table and you do it again. So maybe you have to wash again.
So the only reason why you need a leil seder is because there's so much length, so much halel, and
that you also masich daita the same way as you would do during the week.
Uh huh. Okay. Says the Gemara now, halfway down, I'm a Rava. Bola matzah, yata. Bola mara, lo yata. If I swallow, let's say I took matzah, I crumbled it up into tiny pieces, and I swallowed it all in one shot, I'm yote by matzah. But if I did that for mara, I'm not yote. And the reason being, Rashbam explains, so see Rashbam, bola matzah, it's around four narrow lines up. The lo lasa, you didn't chew it. Yata. Sherei kaim berev tochlu matzah. I ate it. Sherei achila hilo, it's still considered achila. Umi lechachila tam matzah bainan. Still, lechachila, you should chew it, because when you chew it, that's when you get the flavor. That's the ideal way to do it. But if you simply swallowed it, you're still mekayim achila. Bala mara lo yotza, because, says Rashbam, di bainan tam mara v'leka. You have to taste it, like we said. And if you just swallow it, you're not going to taste it, you're not going to be yote there. This comes up halach lemaisa, the Igros Moshe and other posts talk about somebody who's too old and can't really chew matzah. Matzah is very hard. So it's one could certainly grind the matzah to very small, I'm not sure how powdered, but to as small as possible. So the someone who's older can chew, he could swallow it and be yotze the matzah. It's certainly, in their case, considered lechatchila. So says the Gemara, okay, what about, let's say I do bala matzah umara, let's say I take matzah and mara together, both put them in my mouth and swallow them all as one shot. So yidei matzah yotze, yidei mara lo yotze. That also works because even though I didn't taste anything, I've swallowed the matzah, I've been yotei an achila, but mara I didn't taste. However, karchon b'siv u'balon af yidei matzah nam liyata. If I, let's say, wrapped it in a sieve, some type of, how do you interpret sieve?
Like a string of the tree.
String, it's like some type of, you wrap it in so like goes down like a pipe down your mouth or something, right?
No.
Like a funnel, I thought. Like a funnel down your throat.
I would think that you would eat it with it.
You eat it with it, yeah?
It seems like it.
Uh-huh, okay. So it's something which kind of covers up the mara, the matzah, and they go down without even feeling the mara matzah in your mouth. It's covered by this
actually,
capsule.
You might be right. Uh-huh. You might be right. It's kind of a cone.
Okay.
It's, yeah, it's sliding down.
Okay, so it goes, right, it doesn't even touch your mouth. It goes like right down to your stomach. Like a pipe. So in that case, even matzah, you are not yotze. So says the Rashbam, this is around eight medium wide lines down the Rashbam, Dibur Maska Karchon, Shnein Yachad, Besiv Hagedel, Savav Adekel, both of them together, Lo Yotze, Sherei Lo Hayamamish Befiv, Lo Zev, Lo Zev. It wasn't in your mouth. You can't consider that Achila. Uchizorik Evin Lechamas Dami, like throwing a rock into a, what do you call those again? canteen, I think, like throwing into the canteen, that's the word I'm looking for, like throwing a rock in the canteen, like throwing a rock into your stomach, you didn't eat it, it completely, you know, bypassed your mouth, that's not considered an achila. Tosus and Sotus says that for a different reason, that's not considered derech achila, it's not the proper way. When eating, just like when it comes to eating isuri hana, you have to eat it in derech achila to be over the isur, so too when eating achila for mitzvahs asay, has to be done with derech achila. So two different reasons why you're not yotze. For this, actually, Gemara comes up very, very important. Let's say you need to eat, you have medicine or vitamins that are treif. Nevela comes from pig. Or let's say Pesach, you have chametz-based medicine. If it's in a capsule, could you take it in a capsule? Put it in a capsule, it doesn't go in your mouth directly, it's like a sieve. Maybe you can rely on that. So there's a large discussion in the back whether one's allowed to. And many poskim actually permit it. Rav Shlomo Zalman was not very interested in allowing that, but it's a large discussion about that.
But anyway. Everybody says vitamins, it's not permitted.
Everyone says vitamins because it's not a need. You're saying there's no tarach for it.
Yeah, because the whole, I mean, that's why I know that. Because if, even capsules that have gelatin, some people are making on it, but definitely not for vitamins.
Right. So if there's a need, so there's no other, you know, right. It's obviously if it's sakana, so then certainly. But if it's depending on how great the need it is, so there are definitely those you could be somech on. And chametz, one might be, on Pesach, one might be more makbid if there's chametz than by the rest of the year, because chametz is kares, chametz is aser and a kol shu, so they're all chumers by Pesach. But it's one of the rias they bring is based on this Gemara. It says the Gemara now, Amar Rav Simi Bar Ashi Matzah Lifnei Kol Echad Ve'Echad. You have to have matzah in front of every single person. Umar lefnei kol echad ve'echad, and every single person has his own marar. The charoses lefnei kol echad ve'echad, and everyone has their own charoses. The way they used to have it in those days, everyone had their own table. They would have, like, I think the Rashbam explains, let's see, yeah. He wrote, matzah lefnei kol echad ve'echad, he says, minhag shelahen. The way they used to do it was, hayo lahasiv alamitos. They actually had a bed. V'hayo shulchan lefnei kol echad ve'echad. In front of their bed was their own individual small table. So each one had to have their own. They weren't sharing from a larger table from their parents or whoever else was there. They had their own Seder plate on their own table, lying on a bed. So that's how the setup was. And the Gemara continues, also, v'charoses lefnei kol echad ve'echad. They also had their own dip of charoses. V'ein okrin es ha-shulchan ela lefnei mi she'omer ha-gada. And the halacha was that you only remove the shulchan from that person, that's so-called the Baal HaBas, you only remove the shulchan from him. So you see from here, a number of things. One thing is that
what do you mean by in okrin?
When it came, there are a number of stages you look in the Haggadah that says now we remove the
cover it. When we cover it, they used to remove it.
Right, so there are a number of things how to do it, either cover it or remove it. So even then, even when covering is a different point. That's about saying Haggadah on top of the mitzvah.
Right.
But the halach is you're supposed to remove the Seder plate. Those days they removed the entire table, they had a small little table. They took the table up and moved it. Before we get to that point, let's look at Tosa says what you're supposed to do, and we'll get to your question. He says we didn't get there actually. Let's wait another line. Let's read one more line and then where'd that line go in Gemara? Sorry. Yeah, two more lines and then we'll get to see if you have a question still. So Rav Huna, so again, you only remove the table from the person who says the Haggadah. So one point is, by the way, that in those days one person said the Haggadah. The Baal HaBas said the Haggadah, and everyone just was a Yotze, like by a Shteach Tzibor. He's being Motze everybody else, so just the Baal HaBas would say the Haggadah. As opposed to everybody saying along. So that's the way it was. I think many still do that. Now Rav Huna Amar, Kulo Nami Lefnei Misha Amar Haggadah. Everything was also, not everyone had their own Seder plate. There's only one set of, there's one Mara, one Matzah, and one Charoses in front of the person who's saying the Seder. And who's leading the Seder and saying the Haggadah. So what's the halacha? Hilchas Rav Huna, we pass like Rav Huna, that says you only need in front of the person saying the Haggadah. So Amri Debei Rabbi Yanai Kidei Sheyakir, sorry, Lama Okun Tashulchan. So why do we remove the table? This is the point we wanted to say. What's the reason for removing the Shulchan? So Amri Debei Rabbi Yanai Kidei Sheyakir Tinokos Vishalu. So the Tinokos can say, what's going on here? We didn't even eat the meal yet. We just started to sit down. Now you're taking the table away? What's going on? So they can ask questions. So writes Tosos, Lama Only in those days, in the times of the Gemara, where they had very small tables, you could take away the table. We have very large tables that could fit 10, 12, 14 people. You're going to remove an entire table, Bakiraso. So therefore, Nagu l'salik ha'kara, l'tzad echad, d'leve k'akira shulchan. We take this Seder plate and remove the Seder plate. So this, I think, is the custom many to remove the Seder plate.
Well, we only take the Seder plate out for shulchan,
I think.
We don't take it. I mean, we at least don't take it out unless.
So I think either before or after Maaseh Shana, the halacha is, the minhag is to remove the Seder plate, take it off the table.
No, we don't do that.
If you look in Haggadah, I only have one here, but if you look in Haggadah, it's brought down, you remove the Seder plate. And you bring it back, I think, right before Maggid. I don't remember exactly. But yeah, basically, and ideally, what was done then was only in front of the Baal Bus did he have a table of Mara or Matz and Haroseth, and we removed his entire table. So Bezmazah, the question is, so what do you do? So when kids get married, so they like to have their own Seder plate. They go to their parents, they go to the in-laws, and they like to have their own Seder plate. So according to the strict Gemara, there's no need for that. The only need is to have in front of one Seder plate in front of the Baal Bus. But it seems for many, the custom is everyone has their own, each father or husband has their own Seder plate. Says the Gemara, Abaye have a Yosef Kameh the Rabbah. Abaye was sitting in front of Rabbah. Chaza the Kamale Tacha Mekameh. So Madla was to remove. Taka is like a tish, a table. So Abaye saw that Rabbah was removing the table. So Amri Lahu, Adain lo kachlin, Asu Kamakre, Tacha Mekaman. Adain, we haven't yet lo kachlin, we didn't eat yet. And you're going, being Ma'akre, Taka, you're removing the table before us? So Amri Le Rabbah, Patarta Milomar Manashana, you are exempt from saying Manashana, because the whole point of Manashana is really to start training the kids to ask questions. It's kind of an introduction, four questions, and to hopefully get them to ask questions the remainder of the night. The fact that you already asked questions from the removing of the table, there's no need to say Manashana anymore. Okay, so I guess it's a little earlier, but we'll stop here.
Yeah, we saw this before.